Logical, the first regular podcast navigating the latest legal updates here in the UAE. My name's Tim Elliott and I'm here with Ludmila Yamalova. Ludmila is the managing partner here at Yamalova and Pleska. We're on the 18th floor looking out across Dubai in JLT. Nice to see you, Ludmila.
Great to see you too, and thanks for being back here in our studio.
I may have embellished that slightly. We were in a darkened room.
Yes, yeah, kind of like, more like a coffin, but...
It's close. Halloween's only just gone. Look, this time it's an essential topic for many, many residents and investors, the Golden Visa Program. We've talked about this before, but I think it's only reasonable to kind of look at the updates because things change. Let's start with an overview, Ludmila.
Certainly, and you're right. It is. It's only reasonable to do a quick overview and a refresher and a status update because Golden Visa, since it was introduced, has been incredibly successful initiative, and it has grown and evolved in many different ways, and it continues to be extremely appealing to many. So at a high level, the Golden Visa is a long-term residency visa for the UAE that grants 10 years residency for qualifying individuals. So it's a residency visa in the UAE with all the benefits that come with residency, and it's for 10 years. And that's why it's called the Golden Visa. And the program generally is aimed at investors, entrepreneurs, skilled professionals, and those in specialized fields. It supports the UAE's vision of attracting top talent and fostering long-term economic stability. And so, and recent updates have included expanding eligibility criteria and new measures to simplify the process for certain professionals.
All right. Can we look at any specific kind of updates? What's new in the world of golden visas? Any significant changes or additions to the program?
Well, yes. So, and we've talked about this before, but if you recall, when the Golden Visa was first introduced, it was only introduced for special individuals who were ultimately nominated by someone. So it's someone who had, I guess, longstanding relationship with the UAE and certain reputable members of society who were able to nominate such individuals for Golden Visa. That's how it started. Then it evolved very quickly to different categories of, in particular, business professionals, those who worked in the business and made a certain income, in particular, anything about 30,000 dirhams would qualify. So on the basis of that sort of employment relationship. And also the other category was one for investment or investing in real estate, and in particular, any kind of real estate investment that was more than 2 million dirhams in value. It also is available in so different categories for those who have investments in the UAE by virtue of, for example, money in the bank account that's been secured or at least with the country for X number of years. And then there was also kind of rolled over to other specialized professionals, also gifted students or talented students, those who graduated from reputable universities within two years from the graduation, they could apply. So there's many, many different categories. And while the law, when it was first introduced, the law kind of outlined many of these categories, not all the categories were rolled out right away. So it started out, as I said, for those very special individuals. And then slowly, but gradually it kind of rolled out to many other categories. That's kind of how it's evolved there. And then recently there have been a few additional tweaks, if you will, in the application process, and in particular some of the documentation requirements. So specifically the requirement for equivalency certificate for those who are applying for the Golden Visa on the basis of their educational degrees or professional qualifications. So that's kind of a quick rundown of the evolution of the Golden Visa, eligibility requirements.
Can we elaborate a little bit on the equivalency certificates, the requirement specifically? What does it mean for Golden Visa applicants, delegates, whatever you would call yourself, and how do you get hold of an equivalency certificate?
So this is perhaps one of the more recent and most notable changes in the Golden Visa application, and that is this requirement of the equivalency certificate, which did not exist for the first, let's say, 3 years or 4 years of the program. So this particular requirement was introduced by virtue of, I guess, announcements, less so than kind of a specific legislative circular or a document, but more like announcement by the authorities just this year in 2024. And ultimately, what it refers to is for the government to verify your qualifications. And so that's what the equivalency certificate is all about. And that applies to originally, and that by the way, the law does provide for this. It applied to those who were applying specifically on the basis of their professional qualifications, right? Let's say somebody of specific talent. Let's say you're a doctor, right, or you're an engineer or some kind of a tech person. So if you wanted to apply for the Gold Visa for no other reason but your qualifications, the equivalency certificate definitely existed. The requirement of equivalency certificate definitely existed then for those categories. But those categories were not rolled out right away anyway. So for the first 3 years, nobody was obtaining not nobody, obviously, but we heard of very few examples of where equivalency certificate was required, because at that time, all that was required, let's say if you worked for a company, then you would not be applying on as a special talent, but rather as an employee with a handsome salary. So the certificates were not required, even if you were working in a specialized field, because you were applying not on that specialized talent, but rather by virtue of your income and seniority or position in the company. So now, as of this year, almost everyone has to do, anyone who's applying in that same category that I just mentioned, as an employee of a company on the basis, like a senior employee or a senior title, even if they meet and tick the boxes, all the other boxes, which was the case, for example, okay, you need to have a job here, you need to have, the job has to be of a senior title, you need to have a local bank account, you need to have money in the bank account and present statements for the last 6 months, you needed to make a certain amount of money, at least 30,000 dirhams a month, and you need to present evidence of that. You needed to have a bunch of other documents, such as your employment agreement, the confirmation of your salary, but you did not actually, you were not required to present your academic certifications. And so it was on that basis that you would receive the golden visas before. And so it would be basically like, think of it as an employment visa, like a senior employee visa. So now even those categories, now anybody who's applying for those categories is required now to obtain equivalency certificate. And ultimately, what is this equivalence certificate? It's basically your academic degrees from your university back home. But it's not enough just to give your academic degree. So you need, basically, it has two parts to it. One is you need to dig out for some people like myself, who it's been a few decades since I graduated from the first university. So you need to dig out your, not just the certificate or the graduation certificate, but also your transcripts. You know, and I graduated from college in 1996. Wow, it's like okay. A long time ago.
That is, yeah.
So you need to get a transcript. And then also, since I have an advanced degree and a doctorate of jurisprudence, so then same sort of thing. Like you need to have the certificate and also your transcript. And so it's not enough just to give copies. I mean, who has transcripts after having been out of school for 30 some years? I don't know. I didn't have. So thank goodness my university still exists. But imagine if you graduate from university, which is no more. So you those are the two documents from each university, and that's the transcript and the degree. In the past, it was just all you need to do is just show your university certificate, and it had to be legalized. This is not enough. This is a different process. So you need both of those documents, and they need to go through what's called the equivalence certificate. Ultimately, what it is that the UAE government, and that is the Ministry of Education in particular, reviews your transcript to make sure that the courses you took qualify for example, the degree that you would hold. Okay. So that's basic. So it's ultimately the Ministry of Education here in the UAE that oversees the issuance of equivalency certificates, and then it's through their system that you apply for the certificate, and it's the online platform through the ministry. They basically go through whoever it is, however they do it, is they go through your transcripts, I mean, presumably, right? And then they just verify. So for me, I have two degrees because I have the undergraduate degree, and then I have doctorate of jurisprudence. important. Obviously, two different universities, different transcripts. So they go through their checklist to make sure that, it is less about confirming that you actually went to a legitimate university, because in the past, for the last many years, we've been required to submit our university certificates that were tested. So they've already been verified. But this is a different level of verification. This is about the credentials, the courses you took.
Okay.
And in the UAE, the Ministry of Education, employed or deployed or, you know, sort of in a relationship with what's called a data flow group, or engage the service of Data Flow Group, which is a service that assists with verifying the authenticity of an applicant's educational documents. So this, the Data Flow conducts a primary source verification, ensuring that the qualifications are legitimate and recognized. That's basically, this step involves like submitting documents and undergoing attestations, and in some cases even translations, depending on where you went, obviously to university and what your transcripts, what language they're written. And then, so the service provided by Dataflow adds up credibility and efficiency to the whole equivalency process. And so making it a lot easier for applicants to meet the requirement. And I will tell you, this is huge, the Dataflow itself. Because early on, we heard a few examples of where people had to actually obtain equivalency certificates kind of early on, because they were applying for this sort of specialized talent. And the effort that they had to go through to dig out their certificates from like your transcript of 40, 50 years ago, it was quite amusing. But now, because of this dedicated, it's called Data Flow Service, it's a lot faster, and they're quite responsive. They're very transparent, and so it's much more straightforward and streamlined. And I guess it's to be expected, because now there's no other way. But you know, everybody ultimately who will be applying for Golden Visa will have to have this equivalency certificate. So I guess the service better work well and efficiently. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you this, my personal take on it is I think that they will kind of roll out this equivalency certificate later on beyond just the residency, the Golden Residence Visa. I think this may be a way for them in the future to continue to verify people's degrees, as the economy develops further. So I would not be surprised if it gets kind of rolled out on a wider basis.
Okay, so maybe stage one. Can we talk about the DIFC Golden Visa? Because that's a slightly different thing. But what's unique for property owners in Dubai International Financial Center, Ludmilla?
Well, so remember, we're talking about golden visas on the basis of property investment. Now, the property, when we talk, for the most part, we talk about property that's based in, let's say, in Dubai, because that's kind of where we're based, and that's where perhaps most golden visas have been applied for. And so all property in Dubai, all golden visa property-based applications are processed through the land department. So Dubai Land Department, or DLD, that oversees, and so it's a governing authority over the Dubai real estate market. So this was not always the case in terms of application for golden visas through DLD, but it quickly became so. So it's much more transparent and a lot more efficient, accessible. If you're applying for golden visas through the DLD, they have a DLD cube. You go to the DLD, specialized cube for all the investors, and you go through your entire application basically through that one center. You don't have to go to separate immigration centers, as was the case early on when the visa was introduced. Mm-hmm. So, but what this means is that any kind of golden visa for real estate investors is done through the land department. And the land department will tell you, okay, this particular property, does it qualify, does not qualify for the golden visa? In other words, is it worth more than 2 million dirhams, as an example, or not? Or it will tell you, is this particular developer, does he qualify or not? Because often a lot of people apply these days for golden visas also for projects that are off plan, right? So they're not yet completed. And so though for a while there was a question whether you could actually obtain a golden visa for an off plan project, which you can, but there are specific requirements such as the specific developer that's involved and specific project, and also the status of construction or completion. So, but based on all of that, but it's the land department, the land department cube that decides whether a particular project, especially if it's an off plan, would qualify. There's also, for example, certain projects or certain properties cost one amount, but now the owner may believe that the property is worth more. So kind of reevaluating, reassessing the value of the property to see if it would qualify. It's all done through the land department. Now, the Land Department, by virtue of what it does, it oversees and regulates and governs real property in Dubai proper. The DIFC is for the purposes of real estate and for purposes of, I guess, a number of other sort of legislative matters. It's actually its own separate jurisdiction. So in short, their property, the properties that are based in the DIFC, are not subject to DLD. So all these services, all these tools that I've just described, they're not, you cannot use them if you are buying a property in the DIFC, because DLD does not have authority or jurisdiction over DIFC property. In the DIFC, they have their own property register, and so it's the equivalent or analogous to the DLD. And so for the DIFC properties, you have to kind of to apply through for the golden visa through the property register in the DIFC. So it's not DLD, which is important to highlight, because a lot of people would go with the DIFC properties kind of early on and say, oh, my property doesn't qualify. Well, it does. It's just that through a different application, through a different process. But ultimately, it's in the DIFC itself. It's, you know, DIFC being the DIFC, it's quite always to embrace this technology very quickly. And so There's a dedicated and quite sophisticated client portal through which you would submit a service request for the residency visa, and then you pay the fees also through the portal. And so it's, you don't necessarily have this like a cube that you have in the Land Department, but you have a very sophisticated client portal through which you make the application, pay the fees, submit the documents, and ultimately receive the answer. And through which you will have to track the application status, and just as is the case with properties outside of the DIFC, the property has to be worth 2 million dirhams, also if you have multiple properties and each one of them is below 2 million, you can use cumulative or combined value to apply.
Okay, I want to get this right. I want to understand what this means. If a property is used as the base for a gold visa, it gets blocked during the visa's duration. What, I don't really understand what that means.
Yes, indeed. And this, by the way, was not quite apparent to us legal practitioners when the law was first introduced, how these visas, this golden visa for 10 years, remember, it's a long period of time. A lot of things can happen in 10 years. Right. Is that how they would be, you know, I guess, issued is one thing, but how long they would exist, especially if circumstances change. By very definition, if you think, well, it's 10 years, and 10 years, you know, should just be for 10 years. It should not, nothing should vary it. But, you know, there's obviously everything else in life is terms and conditions attached. Golden visas, which are issued on the basis of real estate investment, include as part of the sort of the blocking of the property itself. So, in other words, you cannot, while you have this 10-year visa, you cannot sell that property. You can rent it. You can live in it. Okay. You can rent it. You can receive rent for it. You can, you know, it can be involved in the litigation one reason or another, but you cannot sell it. Because if you sell it, then because your visa, your golden visa is linked to the property, so, and one of the conditions for this validity of the visa is that all criteria remain the same. Right. So I guess that's your definition, or that's your T's and C's that apply to golden visas, is that the conditions must remain the same. So if you sell the property, then the conditions are obviously not the same. So therefore, you would no longer qualify to have the golden visa. So in other words, what that means is that if you, let's say if you have a 10-year visa because you own a big palace somewhere, now you want to sell it to me, you will not be able to sell it until you cancel your visa. So it's not to say that you cannot sell it, and that's the beauty of it. So the system is quite flexible. You can. It's just that prior to selling it, you will have to cancel your visa. And this is kind of circling back to the golden visa DLD cube. This is why it's all done, and that's why it's convenient. So all done under the umbrella of DLD. So it's very easy. If you want to sell the property, just go to the DLD. You cancel your visa right there and then. And then through that, you can proceed further and sell the property.
Gotcha. That's clear. Let's look at some news that has been in the papers recently. This is the inclusion of teachers in the Golden Visa program. Just tell me about that.
Yes, that's one of the most recent developments or announcements. about teachers qualifying for golden visas, and that was quite exciting for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Who and there's a lot of very dedicated, long-standing and long-term teachers in the UAE, as I'm sure you're aware.
I know one or two.
So yeah, so although you'd think that you know, teachers perhaps could qualify as sort of special talent and such, but now there was an announcement just a few months ago that for specific categories, specifically for teachers, yeah. So the teachers now also qualify for the golden visa. It's part of an initiative, and so by virtue of being an initiative, has sort of it has a beginning and an end. It's now been rolled out until December 2024, so for another 2 months, It's obviously it's a part of the UAE's kind of a broader strategy to strengthen the educational sector, and so there's now an option for teachers. You know, remember that these teachers would most likely not qualify in terms of the income, and they would not qualify in terms of the seniority, the senior role. You know, they're not CEOs and CFOs and such, and so they would not be able to qualify on those basis. On the basis, but because by virtue of them being teachers, now they have an opportunity. But there are some requirements to it. So one is that they need to secure a nomination. So it's not that just because I'm a teacher, I go and I apply. So the school, the school has to nominate the teacher and or recommend. And that kind of starts the process. And in fact, it's through the schools that this visa is also applied. They will have to submit the relevant documents, obviously, and I'm assuming, by the way, this is where the equivalency certificate will also come to be. So I think the equivalency certificates will also soon, if not yet, they will be rolled out to golden visas for teachers too. Yeah. And you can see why that is relevant, don't you think? It's like, you know, especially it. So it makes sense for the government to ensure, and they can sort of update its own records to that all those teachers, especially teachers who apply for golden visa on the basis of their teaching experience, why the government should have a record of their academic credentials. So yes, so the equivalent certificate will definitely kick in there. They will have to use this data flow service that I mentioned, which you know, for all those who have foreign degrees, by the way, because the degrees that are issued in the UAE, you don't need to do the equivalent certificate for them for the most part, mm-hmm. unless, for example, you have like a New York University. There is a little bit of nuances there. There's foreign universities in the UAE. The equivalent certificate may still be required there, but it's a simpler process.
Okay.
And then they'll have to apply this sort of approved channel. Through GDRFA or the Citizenship Identity Citizenship Customs and Port Security called ICP service. And then kind of go through the process. But the nomination from the school is required. I hope to see more golden visas issued for teachers in the next 2 months. But now is the time to avail themselves of that particular initiative.
Golden visas, that's another episode of Logical, some of the steps being taken to make residency options more accessible and a bit more supportive for lots of different professionals. Thank you for listening and watching. If you're with us on YouTube, thank you for doing both. And thanks as well to our legal expert, Ludmila Yamalova, managing partner at Yamalova and Pleska. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Always a pleasure to be chatting with you.
You can find us across social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. There's our website full of UAE-centric legal information, podcasts, and all for free as well. And don't forget, if you'd like a legal question answered by a qualified UAE experienced legal professional or in an episode of Logical, click the contact button at lylawyers.com.